E. Casey Foundation.
And support for WMNF comes from our members and Happy Feet Plus. Since 1985, Happy Feet Plus has been providing healthy footwear solutions, including brands such as Birkenstock, Finn Comfort, and Kenco Massage Sandals. Styles and selections at happyfeet.com. And thank you to our generous donors who supported WMNF during our winter drive. We are so close to reaching our goal, and it's not too late for you to do your part. If you want to contribute, you can call 813-238-8001, or you can give online at WMNF.org or through the app. We look forward to thanking you next. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is 88.5 FM Community Radio from West Central Florida. Welcome to Executive Session, your forum for the discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. My name is John Gilmore, and I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time. We welcome all viewpoints in our conversation. We require civility, since basically what we're working on is that radio is still the back fence of the nation. That is a place for reasonable people to hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched, even if they still don't agree. You can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. And this afternoon, you will be speaking to Ms. Jan Simpson. Jan will answer your call. She's going to be interested in your first name, where you're calling from. A word or two about your topic. You can reach the studio by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. Also, be sure and find Executive Session on Facebook and like and follow the page so you can see the links to the material we're discussing that day and join the discussion there. So, before we go farther down the line here, let us take care of some pressing business. As you may or may not be aware, WMNF has ended its long-running relationship with news director Rob Lori. We are deeply grateful to Rob for all he's done for WMNF. Rob is one of the co-founders of WMNF and has represented the station well in the community over the years. We wish Rob well in all his future endeavors. And we are listening. We are listening very, very closely to you, to what you have to say, and we will continue to be listening to you. But we are going to turn back to our main subject, because the presidency and the executive branch did not go away overnight while we were dealing with this local change. So yesterday afternoon, we were talking about the national emergency and whether it was a national emergency, and the fact that after holding the Congress and the White House for 2 years and failing to fund this wall with illegal border crossings approaching their lowest volume in decades, was there a national emergency? Is there a national emergency at the Mexican border that requires a wall? And we opened yesterday, and I'm going to play it again. We opened yesterday with the president actually saying why the wall, you know, what's the wall for?
I could do the wall over a longer period of time. I didn't need to do this, but I'd rather do it much faster. And I don't have to do it for the election. I've already done a lot of wall for the election, 2020. And the only reason we're up here talking about this is because of the election.
So the president came right out and said that he's whatever he's done has been for the election. And so that was one of the that was where we left off yesterday. There were four or five of you who were on the line who did not get to get into the session yesterday. You are welcome to call back. We'll resume that conversation. We also have had 24 hours to sort of process the Andrew McCabe interview on 60 Minutes on Sunday night, and you are certainly welcome to bring to the session your impressions of that, what it is that you saw, whether you consider the man truthful, what you thought about what he had to say. So 813-239-9663 will get you in contact with Ms. Jan Simpson. Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men, woman. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
And we are in executive session for Tuesday, I believe, the 19th of February of 2019, and about to go directly to the phones, and we're going to go and talk to Jim in Riverview. Good afternoon, Jim. You're kicking off the session on WMNF this afternoon. Are you there, Jim? Hold on for just a second. Let me make sure all the buttons are pushed. Try it now.
Hello.
How you doing? Did you know that if you push this button, this thing works?
Excellent.
It's incredible. I'd thought of it earlier.
After 30 years, you know, you get used to some of the stuff that you should be doing, John.
Okay.
with that, hello, John, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
John, yeah, Jan's a sweetie. She told me to stay on topic. I'm going to stay on topic, but give me 10 seconds. There's one good thing that came out of this. Rob needs to come back, but one good thing came out of this. I didn't realize that you've got to go to digital, that you're spending, $10 million in 10 years or something like that. I read the long article about that you got a roof that you need on the building. A lot of it came to light. We need to raise that money to do that. We need to raise enough money that we have
a radio station?
No, I'm losing my words here.
Okay.
Like an endowment. We need to raise enough money that it just doesn't pay for hand to mouth.
I see what you mean. You're basically kind of talking about a trust fund from which the station can draw.
Yeah, we need to raise over the money that we need to raise just to keep going and keep the lights on.
Yeah.
We need to raise enough money that we can put it aside and just draw off the investments on it.
Yep.
To keep the station running, and then we can go hand to mouth, on the quarterly or, with the listeners.
Yep.
And that said, I hope that's brought that to everybody's attention now that's listening. You don't just call in, you stick down your hand down in your pocket. And if everybody did it, I see on Facebook you got 233,000 people, I think. If everybody from the 233,000 gave $100 one time, gave $100, they were over $2 million.
Yeah.
Okay. That said, I love Rob, and I don't know, if I'm going to be around if he's not. So anyway, let me say this: I like your show. Mark Barrow, the hero, is great. Now going into politics, Trump. If the first thing he's going to do is land-based socialism. Look at Venezuela, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get off the catchword of socialism because people don't understand, like Mark was saying, the Social Security is there, the libraries are there. The military is socialism.
Right, right.
So we have to get out front and say that, and something that scares me, John, is what Michael Moore said on TV, I guess about 6 months ago. He said, you've got to put somebody up there that everybody loves. If everybody doesn't love them, you'll do 4 more years with Trump.
Yeah, we have a very interesting political, and I hate to use the word experiment because it sounds trivial, but it's not. We have a very interesting political experiment coming up, and that is to discover whether a committed minority acting as a bloc can exert determining influence over a majority that is not unified.
Yeah, and we need to kind of, everybody needs to steer around Starbucks for a while to give the guy, some pause.
Yeah. You know? Well, I don't know. There is going to be, and actually already is, a very wide array of people standing up, and I think it's great. I wonder what the primaries for the 2018 election looked like, because I would be willing to bet that these new faces in the House of Representatives are not from unilateral kinds of "I'm the only one that stood up" campaigns. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we can winnow a field down, and I think that we did in 2018, and I think that the result was a whole new House of Representatives.
My dad always says the Democrats will find a way to lose it. and if the Democrats say, "Oh, I'm not going to hold my nose and vote for Hillary. I'm voting for, you know, for the Jill Stein or whatever."
Yeah.
They did the same thing and elected Bush. People got to get smart. You're not gonna win if you're not a Democrat or Republican. You're not gonna win.
Yeah.
You know, maybe in 20 or 30 years down the road, when I'm dead, that can happen. But it's not happening now. And look at this latest revelation about Trump. I just heard a snippet of it on the news that Trump was given classified information to the Saudis.
Yeah, I have just heard that.
Yeah.
He has. Been incautious, let's say, with classified information in the past. And he, of course, is in the unique position of being the ultimate classifying authority.
Yeah.
And what that means is he can declassify anything.
Oh, geez.
The fact that he releases it because he is the ultimate classifying authority makes it unclassified.
Yeah.
See, the classifying authority can unclassify something.
You are very diplomatic.
Well,
but it's true.
Yeah. So, when they found out that he had divulged some sort of code word protected intel to Lavrov and Kislyak. There was a considerable amount of what you might call disturbance in the force.
Yeah, angst.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, John.
All right, John. Jim, listen, it's great talking to you. I appreciate you kicking us off here on a Tuesday afternoon. We will talk again, sir.
All right, bye-bye.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. Looking at the executive branch of the United States government, you know, because that's what we do here. That's what we assemble here for each and every day at just after the 1 o'clock NPR news here on WMNF 88.5 FM. We're just going to kind of walk down the list here and talk to Lowell in Sarasota. Good afternoon, Lowell in Sarasota. You're in executive session.
Hi, John in Tampa. How are you?
So far, not bad.
Okay. I'm also sad to hear about Rob. I think that's a great loss for the station. I know you're not going to get into it, so I'll move on to the next topic, which is the emergency at the border.
Yeah.
I'm a liberal. I voted for Bernie. I ended up supporting and campaigning for Hillary. And so I'm coming from that point of view. I do think there is an emergency at the border, and the emergency is 50,000 people in internment camps and children separated from their parents. That is a human rights emergency.
Yeah. There is an emergency. There just isn't what I just don't think there is a security urgency emergency.
No, there is a we are effing up really badly emergency.
Yeah. It's humanitarian.
Exactly. And we have no business. I mean, it kills me that this is going on. And it's not the first word on everyone's lips. "Hey, John, I see you in the hallway. What about all those 50,000 people that are being kept up in you know, very bad conditions, mm-hmm. as far as I can tell. It's not the hotel. It's not a Hilton. It's you know, it's cages.
Yeah.
And it just kills me that this is going on. And that's what we need to be talking about.
Yeah, we need to design a much more efficient and effective system for dealing with the fact that conditions south of us are so bad that people are literally willing to carry their children 1,000 miles to get away.
Right, and those conditions are often caused by us and the DEA and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we create a problem, and then the problem comes back and bites us, and then we're like, oh!
Yeah. Is it now, I will tell you, I've said this before, it is amazing to me that we seem not to have apprehended the concept blowback, despite the scorch marks all over our face.
Right. Karma is terrible, isn't it?
It seems. So anyway, go ahead.
It's not hurting me and you. It's hurting legitimate asylum seekers to our country.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. There is a crisis.
All right, you and I essentially share a viewpoint as far as yes, there is a crisis, and pretty much about what that is. I think when your deliberately initiated policies serve essentially to create orphans, in families where the parents are not dead,
right?
You know that you have. I think your policy needs considerable scrutiny.
Yeah.
So that's about as far as I go with that, Lowell. Listen, thanks a lot. It's been good to talk to you.
Talk to you soon.
I certainly hope so. And we go 813-239-9663. We have Miss Jan Simpson in there. She will answer your call. She will get you ready to step in here and have your say in executive session. We've been talking about the border and whether or not, in your estimation, there seems to be an emergency there, and a national emergency. Is what's going on the southern border a national emergency? Is it an existential threat to the United States of America? 813-239-9663. Rod in Largo, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Good afternoon. I don't believe there is a border crisis.
Heretic.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, it just slipped out.
President Trump believes there's a border crisis. I think he's just trying to fulfill a promise and run his mouth like he always does to try to get his people that do support him, regardless of what he does. And that's what it's all about. The border, correct me if I'm wrong, but just about every news outlet that I've listened to has said that our border, the people who are trying to get over the border and migrate to this country have gone down.
Yeah, it is actually the lowest. The illegal crossings are at their lowest in some 47 years, I think, the last statistic I saw.
Yeah, and I mean, if statistics are what they are, I mean, it's kind of the proof in the pudding there, so I don't understand. I think that, what I think about Donald Trump is he's a cancer on the United States, and he needs to be removed by radiation or something.
I think we actually have the means to do it. We have the means to put the, and I said this before, one of the dangers of democracy is that free people have the prerogative of making awful mistakes.
Right.
The one of the beauties of democracy is those same people have the machinery at their command to correct those errors.
Yeah, but they won't do it. They don't seem to be doing it. And the only thing that I can see that has moved, and I'm not going to say forward because I don't believe it's moved forward at all, was the tax bill that they pushed through. And I don't even really credit that to Donald Trump. That is always usually a Republican ploy. It's been going on every time a Republican has got into the White House.
Yeah, I think that was actually one of Paul Ryan's long-held dreams.
Exactly. That trickle-down has never worked. What do they used to call it? Even Ben Stein, who was a big Republican, called it voodoo economics.
Yeah. Well, there are things that trickle down, let's face it.
Yeah. But we don't want to talk about those.
I guess you need an umbrella at least.
And also, just on another note, sorry to hear about Rob Laura. I don't have both sides of the story, so, and I don't think most people out there do. And
correct.
I think until you have both sides of the story and know exactly what's going on, there's any room to comment.
Yeah, I am holding conclusion in abeyance because of the clarity that I have that I am not privy to the full range of the situation.
Well, there you go. And I mean, everybody loves Rob Laurier, myself included. But until you know the circumstances around everything, I just don't think it's, you know, I'm sure it will come out.
Yeah.
Whatever, and everybody's just going to have to wait until that time.
Yep.
Anyway, I'll let you get on to another caller.
All right, appreciate thanks, Rod. It's caller. Good to talk to you.
You too.
Let's talk again. 813-239-9663. And Jan Simpson will answer your phone call, get you ready to step in here and say what it is that you have to say. We are talking, we are finishing a conversation that we began yesterday about this national emergency declaration that ostensibly gives the President of the United States the authority to pull funds from already allocated locations, places the Congress has said they wanted to put money, and take that money from there and put it into something the Congress has specifically made clear that they don't want to spend money on. So we've been talking about that, whether there is an emergency, what the nature of it is, if there is. And also, if you were taken by something in the 60 Minutes interview that Mr. McCabe did the other night, you're certainly welcome to bring that in. I saw some of it. I must admit that I found it so thrilling that in two different places I fell asleep, and so my knowledge is incomplete. So maybe you can bring me up to date. Anyway, Mary in Safety Harbor, good afternoon. You are in executive session, and you have the floor.
Good afternoon. I have two things to say, one about McCabe and the other about the firing of Rob Laurie. I have been a contributor and a participant for decades with WMNF, and I also have worked in human resources. Regardless of what is going on, there's a way to end something, and there's a way to communicate. And mm-hmm. What happened to Rob Laurie was unconscionable. And Mr. Kopp and the board of directors has alienated lots of people, and they're going to find that they're going to pay a heavy price for that.
Mm.
Secondarily, when it comes to McCabe, I think I just heard, you know, he's been doing interviews all day today, and one of the interviews I just heard was him on Terry Gross, and I heard probably one of the most horrifying things I have ever heard. And I do find him credible because his statements have been substantiated and backed up by Rosenstein and others, so he's not speaking out of context. He said that in a briefing about to the president done by the FBI, when they were talking about a relationship with North Korea,
mm-hmm.
that he basically told the people in the briefing that he did not believe what they were telling him.
Yeah,
because Putin had told him.
Yeah.
That they did not have capacity to set off a nuclear war.
Right. And well, the our intelligence people were telling the White House that North Korea had ballistic missiles that could reach us, and
exactly.
Mr. Trump was saying that he believed Vladimir Putin, who told him that was not the truth.
That, to me, is one of the most horrifying things I have heard in this whole debacle.
Yeah?
If he is believing Vladimir Putin and not our intelligence community, what does that tell us?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, isn't it? What does it, is there any significance to it?
I think the answer is extremely obvious, and I just wonder when people are going to start saying this damn emperor has no clothes.
Yeah.
Not only does he not have any clothes, he is a spy and in the pocket of the Russians.
Yeah. So you were, you mentioned, Mary, that you had been in HR, is that correct?
That is correct.
Good. Please tell us what you know about what management can communicate in general about a discharge. What can management say about what happened?
Well, management has lots of latitude about what they can say and what they cannot say.
I see.
They also have lots of latitude about the way that they go about things.
Mm.
If there was, I also am a professor of communication. I mean, it sounds to me like there was perhaps a change of directions that wanted to proceed with. Well, you know, there's communication that goes on. There's not this immediate, when somebody started an organization, worked there for 40 years, and was one of the co-founders of the organization, to do that, do they not think there's going to be a backlash?
I doubt very seriously if they didn't think there would be some profound reaction.
Of course they knew there was going to be a backlash. Yeah. There's a way to communicate with its constituents, but also with Rob Lori. They could, if there is a parting of the ways, he should have been given a severance. He should have been, there should have been a communication. There should have been a process.
I don't know what the arrangements are, Mary. I am not privileged to know those things.
But I'm sure that we will find out. And I think that regardless of which, come into an office and give him 15 minutes to gather his stuff and tell him to get out. When he founded WMNF,
yeah.
He was one of the founders. That is unconscionable.
That is among the things about which I am unclear. I have heard that report, and
before I said that himself.
Yeah. Okay. I'm clear about that.
Before I said that in the newspaper article, it was his quote.
Yeah.
That he was told he had 15 minutes to gather his stuff and get out. So
yeah.
I don't think he's lying about it, and there's no reason for that.
Okay. All right, listen, Mary, thank you very much for calling in and having your say on both of those subjects. I appreciate it very much, and I hope that we get to talk again. And that is going to take us up to a couple little messages about some stuff, some other people that are standing alongside you in their support for your radio station, and we will be right back. Support for WMNF comes from our members and the Florida Law Group, protecting the rights of the wrongfully injured since 1984. The Florida Law Group is dedicated to creating strong and lasting connections with their clients and with our community. More at the floridalawgroup.com. And furthermore,
on Saturday, March 2nd, WMNF presents How Music Saved My Life, an improv comedy performed right here in our own live music studio. Come hear some of your favorite DJs share their stories of how music impacted their lives, and then watch as actors from the Living Mirror Playback Theater perform those stories, improvising on the spot with words, music, and movement. It's a unique experience that can be funny, moving, and exhilarating. The show starts at 7 p.m. March 2nd. Seating is limited, so reserve your seat by calling 813-238-8001. Suggested donation is $10 at the door.
All right, back to our conversation, which has been fairly wide-ranging this afternoon, inclusive of but not limited to the ongoing consideration of whether or not you think there is a national emergency at the border with Mexico, and what if there is, do you think a wall that'll take 10 years to build is the optimal solution? So 813-239-9663, we go to Bill in Homosassa. Good afternoon, Bill. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Well, the national emergency, as far as I'm concerned, is called the GOP. I have never, and would I have ever, in 69, when I come on Vietnam, think that we would have, what are they calling these camps where they got all these people locked up?
Well, I tell you what, if you look up in Merriam-Webster, in the Merriam-Webster online edition, if you look up concentration camps, the definition is amazingly similar to what we have across the country right now.
I know. And I don't know, in a concentration camp, if they, maybe they did, took the kids away from the parents and shipped them elsewhere to where now they can't even reunite. I mean,
I don't know. Given, you know, given that we can track a cut of beef from a slaughterhouse to a supermarket, it's hard for me to imagine that we can't keep track of a child.
I can find my dog at any given day I want. Well, that's a fact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can find my phone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I am overwhelmed with the stupidity, and I'm going to say it like this because nobody else is, of the Republican Party. They're following this guy. We got a Supreme Court justice that's got nominated, put in place, that could be a, I don't know, he didn't molest that lady, but he was sure close to it.
Yeah, let's put it this way. He could have been, as a young man, engaged in some very untoward behavior.
Yeah.
At the very least.
The appointee for the Attorney General was a carnival barker. Got charges against him right now for a con game.
Oh, the guy that was Whitaker?
Yeah, that...
Yeah, he's no longer acting. We actually now have a fully invested Attorney General. Mr. Barr is now fully in charge of the Attorney General's office.
He's another flea. And the other guy, the only place that he was put there was to get all the information from Mueller and hand it right over to Trump. You know that, and I know that.
Whitaker looks to you like he was put there as a pipeline.
Sure.
Got it.
Anybody's got any common sense. I'm not a smart man, but I will tell you from what I've seen from these camps, the racist rants, the Mar-a-Lago, the kids, just look at his family living in that White House nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the cost that it cost us to put them out and about and around. And then the other day, when they brought his name up in that, wherever that meeting was.
Yeah, security. Yeah, the security meeting. I saw that. Mr. Pence?
Yes. This is what's killing me.
Yeah.
Why does the American people... And I'm talking GOP. What is this? I mean, our country's going to hell in a handbasket right before our eyes.
I have a theory I'll share with you, and I've said this before, but I think that what we are watching is a Republican Party that is willing to ride this administration right down to the waterline in order to continue to remake the federal courts.
Well, so be. But
yeah.
I mean, our Constitution is not set up that way.
Well, it looks to me like the Republicans announced their opposition and their obstructionism to the Obama administration day one, or actually before day one, and that the result of that was that when the Obama administration came to a close, there were dozens and dozens and dozens of empty seats on the federal bench. And with a majority, with a Republican majority Senate, which is where those things are confirmed, the Republicans have set about remaking the federal courts. And I think they did that because that's where a lot of their programs end up. The president even said this whole national emergency thing will end up there.
That gives me another, yes, and that's the scary part. Now, and then on that underhanded, conniving fault line, they succeeded. That's just like the voting rights. They're restructuring all this crap to where it's just, I don't understand, because we are the people and we do have the power.
Yeah, that's how come I think that the next election. Did you ever see? Is it called World War Z, where the zombies are? Did you ever see the one where they're all climbing the wall?
No, I never watched. No.
Okay, well, I didn't watch the whole thing, but I've seen the trailer a couple times. And what it looks like is it looks like a swarm of frantic insects crawling over this wall. That's what the polling places need to look like in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
We need to swarm the elections in a huge way.
I don't believe the governor of this state earned it. I think there was the shenanigans going on there. I really, really do. And the same with Scott. I believe that with all my heart and soul.
Yeah. Well, we've seen some pretty classy shenanigans in Carolina and Georgia in just the last few months. I mean, that was those whole escapades that were pulled off up there. The operation that they pulled off in Carolina was actually declared a criminal act.
Well, if Bush Gore had been really investigated like it should have been, it probably would have been here too.
Yep. All right, Bill, listen, it's always good to talk with you, and I hope that we get to talk again. We will we'll be back with you.
Wake up, America.
Hello.
What a world man says, or whatever his name is. Thank you.
All right, Bill. 813-239-9663. Jan Simpson will answer your call, get you ready to step up in here and have your say in executive session this afternoon. So far, we have been in a broad-ranging conversation about the National Emergency Declaration and what it is that you think about that. And right now, we are going to go and talk to Andrew in Hardy County. Good afternoon, Andrew in Hardy County. You're in executive session.
Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call. Try to run this down quickly. We do have an emergency. We definitely have an emergency.
Okay.
And the nature of the emergency, from my point of view, is that people in the United States are not alert to or paying sufficient attention to history, because we have experience with people governing by emergency decree, and that starts with the Reichstag fire.
Yeah.
And everybody, wake up, America, believe it. Look at the fact that we have someone who is openly and directly attempting to move us in the direction of government by decree. And it's not going to happen all at once. There will be multiple decrees, but that's exactly how Adolf Hitler consolidated power.
So it looks to you like this actually may be a deliberate stepwise progression.
I think they're going to go as far as they're allowed to go.
Yeah, yeah.
This is why we need to be in the streets saying thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
And another step in that is, if anybody picked up on Trump's remarks about Venezuela, which were not remarks about Venezuela, but prepping for the next election, he's got his marching orders from the Pokes, and there's no question about what they are, because now we are right back in full-blown 1952, 1953, 1954, Red Scare country.
Yeah. Yeah, we're also picking sides in somebody else's democratically elected government.
Say again?
I said we're also picking sides in someone else's democratically elected government, which, by the way, does not mean that I support the duly elected president of Venezuela. I think that it's pretty clear to me that whatever it is that he's doing down there just is not working.
Yeah, I mean, look, Maduro is not Chavez. And, but again, as in the case of every state in history that has attempted a transformation, be it socialist or some other form of transformation that the United States didn't like. You know, we have to keep our minds focused on the fact that, one, we know we're being lied to. Two, we recognize clearly that the Venezuelan people have a right to determine their own fate and their own future. That's called sovereignty.
Yeah.
And supposedly Trump is a big fan of sovereignty, at least unless he has something else on his mind.
Unless he doesn't like the direction your sovereignty is headed.
That's right.
You know.
And he's going to come sit on your sovereignty.
Yeah.
But quickly on McCabe, I want to kind of turn that conversation a little bit because, yes, I think Mr. McCabe is reporting facts, but two, I think that we all need to look out for the fact that the idea that the deep state is going to protect us from the deep state contains a few contradictions.
Yeah, that I'll tell you what, that whole notion about the deep state, there is no argument against it. It can't be, you know what I mean? It's so nebulous, and the evidence can be gleaned from so many odd sources that I don't think that it's not a conversation you can put away definitively, you know what I mean?
Well, I think that what we're facing is the fact that people who have decades and decades and decades to plan, and we're not talking about the Illuminati,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're not talking about a small group of guys with cigars in their mouths sitting back in a darkened room, pulling all the strings. We're talking about the very definite, divided, segmented power centers that do, in fact, work with each other on something.
Mm. And who are they?
Well, you know, one of them was in the news recently. That would be AIPAC.
Mm.
All right. The fact that now you're facing a scramble. Let me recommend for people who want to get into what is and is not the deep state, John Mearsheimer's book, The Israel Lobby. Published some time ago, but it's still very, very topical. And anybody that's picked up on the recently leaked four-part Al Jazeera series on the lobby, Mearsheimer is interviewed a couple of times in that series talking about that. And even though they go ahead and do it by calling John Mearsheimer a, quote, self-hating Jew, end quote, it's still impossible for the people at AIPAC and the Israel lobby in the United States who are not happy about the fact that they're being published and exposed, but definitely, you know, are intent upon continuing to, and they've got their own agenda. Okay.
This goes back to something that we had a new member of Congress have some say about that got quite a rise out of people, and this sounds like it harkens back to, and I'm going to say this in a very, very flat and very, 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 very undiplomatic way, but it sounds like it gets back to this whole "the Jews control the world" thing. Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is exactly the opposite.
Oh, okay.
And if you
oh, good, I'm glad you brought that.
If you want to get straight on that, let's talk about the fact that not the Jews, but in reality, the Zionist movement. Is not even inherently, in the sense that you're trying to depict it, Jewish, because what you're facing is the fact that anybody that actually knows the history of the decline and fall of the Ottoman Empire understands that it was actually the Western power that tremendously encouraged the situation that has evolved into the mess that we have today, and that without that, probably Chaim Weizmann and his allies would not have been able to accomplish what they aimed to accomplish. But they were encouraged because it was in the manifest interest of the Western powers to move in that direction.
All right. Well, listen, we are going to move on, Andrew. Thank you very much. You have brought some very, very stimulating material to our conversation this afternoon.
One more short remark.
Very quick.
Okay. Very quick. That what we're looking at is that the people of Israel today, all of them, are in many ways the victims of the great powers and manipulations that went on during the fall of the Ottoman Empire.
Okay.
Everybody is suffering as a result of that. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Listen, thanks a lot. That's stimulating ideas. If you have something that you want to say about that, you are welcome to call us at 813-239-9663. We will be back to that conversation in moments. Support for WMNF comes from our members and Live Nation, presenting OAR with special guests, American authors, and Hunter Tones. June 19th at Mahaffey Theater in St. Petersburg. Get more info at themahaffey.com.
WMNF is listener-supported community radio that celebrates cultural diversity and is committed to equality, peace, and economic justice. WMNF provides broadcasts and other forums with a grassroots local emphasis that promotes creative, musical, and political vitality. WMNF advocates for peace, social justice, economic justice through independent media and programming neglected by the mainstream. We embrace diversity, tolerance for others' opinions, and freedom of expression. WMNF celebrates the creative, cultural, and political vitality of the local community. We're your community-conscious radio station. WMNF Tampa.
And back to the phones. It is 2/19/19. That's the date, not the time. And we are tiptoeing up to the threshold of the lightning round here at the end of a nice Tuesday afternoon. And I believe that I'm looking to see over in the next room there. And I don't see anybody yet, but I think I'll see Nancy C. in there pretty good. Oh, there she is. She was hiding under the desk. Okay, you can join us at 813-239-9663, and we're going to go right back to the phones and talk to Steve in Tampa. Good afternoon, Steve in Tampa. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Yeah, hey, just two thoughts. Number one, I did find it interesting that they let Rob, raise money for the station for a week before they fired him, so those people who donated to his show, they're kind of not getting what they paid for, but... moving on to the other topic, once this wall is built, and it probably will be built, from that point forward, if the Democrats are smart, whenever the Republicans bring up immigration, they should say back to them, now that you have your wall, I thought you told us that would take care of it.
Oh, yeah, it's all over with now, isn't it?
No more problem. So you've got your wall, so there is no more illegal immigration problem.
That is that's a very interesting thing, a very interesting viewpoint, and I got to tell you, it's a pretty expensive closure. Building that wall is a pretty expensive way to get there.
Well, and you know that it won't be. They will immediately, continue. But it would be interesting to see if the Democrats, and they won't do that because Democrats are known for not being particularly smart.
Well, what do you think of the likelihood that at some point in the future, under a Democratic administration, there will be, let's say, another Las Vegas massacre, and the Democratic president steps out into the Rose Garden and declares a national emergency in order to get funds to do, I don't know, whatever.
I would say the chances of that happening are about as much as an alien spacecraft landing on the White House lawn, for the simple reason, and I've said this before, once Sandy Hook happened and all those little kids got killed, and nothing was done except thoughts and prayers and hand-wringing, at that point, I realized that we are acceptable losses.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how many people get killed. the guns are more important, and that's just the way it is.
I have seen people ask, who will stand up and simply declare that the gun violence we see around us is the acceptable price for the rights we have to keep and bear arms?
They already do in a way. I mean, they do in a way. If you listen to shows like Armed America on Sunday nights on the radio, they already say that.
Yeah?
Yeah, they already do that. Basically, they're sorry about the, but it's not guns that kill people. It's yeah. people that kill people, and the guns are just there.
Well, I'll tell you what. I understand that it's people operating those guns, but I dare you to kill that many people from a hotel room with a knife.
I
you know what I mean?
I know, but you're arguing with people who refuse to deal in logic. So, you know, dealing back at them in logic is kind of a senseless. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think I have been looking at this for a long, long time. And the only thing I can tell you is at this point, I have no idea what to do with it. I really don't. There are 330 million firearms distributed among the population of the United States of America. And there ain't no way those things are going to get confiscated.
Nope.
And can you imagine what would happen in this country at the first indicator that such a thing was going to happen? Even if we also, it doesn't seem to me, can handle it by acting against ammunition.
You would have a white trash riot.
I don't know that I would characterize it that way, but I can tell you that the reaction would be, extremely, significant?
It would be white trash riot time.
Okay, well, that's it. Like I said, I wouldn't go there because, I'm a gun owner and I have, and I was a hunter and I keep, and I keep my firearms and I have an expert. I am an expert with a .45 caliber service automatic. So, you know, I'm not somebody outside going, I just don't understand how to handle it.
You don't have a banjo and a jug of whiskey?
No, I have a guitar and a small amplifier.
All right, man.
All right, Steve, thanks a lot. We'll talk again. 8132. Oh, we're in the lightning round here. We are within about a minute or so of bringing the session into a close, and we're going to go and talk to as many people as we can. Sean, your patience is amazing. Thank you for waiting. You are in executive session, and you may have the last word.
Hey, John, anyone who's paying even the smallest amount of attention knows that there's no national emergency. The bombing of Pearl Harbor was a national emergency.
Yeah, I think so.
This is not a national emergency. This is politics. And we've talked about this before. I was under the conclusion that Trump lies every time he opens his mouth, but I realized that it's worse than that. He lies, and then if it will get both feet in his mouth, then he tells the truth.
I think it's fascinating. I think it's fascinating that he will say things that are incorrect, untrue, distorted, and that people around him swear to it.
Right.
I think my dad used to say that, you know, you lie and he swears to it.
It's a national emergency, but I didn't need to do it today. We should, he immediately says it's not a national emergency.
Exactly.
Telling the truth.
Right.
One time, the truth.
Turned in his own radius to say, I don't have to do this now. I don't have to do this way. I could wait.
Right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get that off my chest because it's so obvious.
Well, I'll tell you what. The next time you hear of a 9/11 call where somebody says, my house is on fire, but don't worry about it.
Right. The boy who cried wolf.
Yeah. All right, listen, Sean, thank you very much. I believe you have actually closed the session for this afternoon, and I hope we get to talk again.
Oh, yeah.
Sure enough. All right, Norman and Rob and John, we're not going to get a chance to talk to you this afternoon. Invite you to come back tomorrow, especially tomorrow. We will be having a very interesting conversation here tomorrow. In the meantime, stay with WMNF as we go through the afternoon with Nancy C., who is going to bring you It's the Music, and take you up to the traffic jam. We're going to get you through that traffic jam and back to your house. And in the meantime, always keep in mind,
it has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
This is WMNF Tampa.